Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Good morning.
So we have a lot of things going on in the city. The one that I definitely want to give you a chance to talk about a little bit is another fire at the scrapyard. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I think I had the same reaction. While we're in the conversations of trying to kind of rectify things and make sure that, I mean, when you just see how far our hose has to go to get to a hydrant to put out this fire, I mean, if you see the video of it, it's insane. And so, this is just that classic case of kind of being in that industry where you do what you want to do and you don't really have to care much about your neighbors. Well, when you start having 6 fires in 2 years, then we're going to force you to care about your neighbors, is really where we're at. So, in fairness, after fire number 5, the company, the organization, has been very receptive to our concerns. I will say that, I haven't even had that direct conversation with them other than letters that I've sent to England and everywhere else, to share our displeasure. So I know there had been some conversations with our fire department, on-site inspections, things like that. So obviously disappointing to see. This was much more minor in nature from the previous one. And that could be, we'll see, could be perhaps because of some of the kind of quick strike adjustments that were made that will help mitigate some of these issues. So more to come on that. But the frustration that you share in your question is the same one we share in the building right now, because this has just gotten to a ridiculous level that if you aren't going to be a good neighbor, we're going to make you be a good neighbor.
Right. I was stunned by it. One of the things that's on the agenda for next week is I think the curfew, or at least the broad, is this the final ordinance we've got? I have not had a chance to read it, so if it is, I apologize. And what elements are relating to the parents and parental responsibility is the particular thing that I'm curious about.
Exactly. So, yeah, it is on. Obviously, like any ordinance in the city, is 2 readings. So this would be the first reading. Second would be in September. But ultimately, it follows the same state statute that cities are required to codify to enforce, which is 11 p.m. For it is 17 and under, 11 p.m. on weeknights, midnight on weekends. And before you say, wait a second, my son or daughter work at a restaurant or something like that, obviously there are several, like, I don't have time to go through them all on the radio, but there are several exceptions like that, commuting, you know, coming to and from, being at a friend's house. You know, it's not like they're going to come if you're in a friend's front yard on private property. I mean, there's definitely different scenarios like that. And so I would read through those. But ultimately, 11 on the weekdays, midnight on the weekends. And first is a warning, second is a fine, third is a bigger fine and potential additional action. So, and for the parents, there are fines up to $500, depending on how many warnings have taken place. So same thing, you can kind of look through kind of strike one, strike two, strike three. But the bottom line is, if we have a serial problem with your child being out after midnight, causing issues on public property, then this is not a child problem solely. This is a parental problem as well. And that's what really needs to be addressed, is like the old 80s, you know, what is it? It's 10 o'clock or it's midnight. Where is your child
you
right now?
You know your children are,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that like the old PSA. So I don't think this is an unreasonable ask. And I would say, generally speaking, we've had a lot of warm reception to this, you know, around the city when this has been discussed.
Is it citywide or is it zoned by downtown
it
only, or something?
It's
citywide. Okay. Was that on legal advice?
That before, the press conference, they'd asked me that. And I know that was our intent, because you start picking and choosing streets and districts and all those, you know, or if Andrew's on one side of the street, is he not in the curfew? And then the other side he is. You know, I think it's just easier that's a legal decision ultimately, but purely from a legal standpoint. Obviously, there's going to be certain areas where you're going to see this more likely to happen, or for violations to happen. Nonetheless, it would be citywide.
All right, very good. The LDC, I was just browsing the agenda while we were talking. The LDC final implementation, I think that's on the council for next week.
Yeah, finally, the snowball is big enough for us to take something on. This is a multiple-year process of auditing our land development code. And if you guys haven't heard, we have not overhauled our land development code holistically land development code holistically since 1949. So when you and you'd say, well, you know, hey, that sounds like a boring topic. What does that have to do with me? If you talk about housing affordability, then you should be talking about the land development code, because this is what allows us to be able to thicken neighborhoods, to be able to modernize our rules that maybe make a garage apartment a little easier to build. Maybe all of those little things where we can increase inventory and units. So from a mayor's desk, there are very few paint brushes that can paint as well with one stroke to be able to attack affordability. And that's why we did this right when I got in office. And again, 3 years later, almost, we're going to finally be adopting some of those changes.
For people who are probably not going to sit down and read through the entire proposed revised land development code, and it is important for people to understand that the things that annoy you in your daily life when you live in the city, like your neighbor's fence, your neighbor's tree, how far or near you are to the sidewalk. I mean, like, all of that stuff is land development code stuff. You're annoyed that the coffee shop is too loud. Like, that's all LDC stuff. And so it matters, and it's all, every rule is a result of a case. So what are some of the big changes?
Yeah, I will reinforce that point by saying, I think public works, like all the stuff, street sweeping and cleaning out storm ponds and all that, that combined with LDC or the zoning, are those types of things that you don't notice as a resident have such an impact on you. It's just something you don't think about.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. Our land development code is what, how big your front yard needs to be, how close your house can be to the next house. All of those different things are set and codified in a land development code that set those rules. And that's why building a house in the city is going to have a different set of rules than building a house in Escambia County or Santa Rosa County or Milton or anywhere else. And so I would say probably the biggest change is, and this is a recurring theme, I think, in this administration, which is clarity. We had different sections of our code that said one thing, but then when we amended something in 1986, we added something else that actually conflicted with the other page.
Okay.
I mean, it's the Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. And the reason we haven't done a holistic change of your land development code since 1949 is because it's hard to do. It takes 3 years. You got to audit. You got to have all these public meetings. I mean, it takes some political will to say, hey, we can do better. We had several different overlay districts with different sets of rules in our downtown. Actually, even had some areas that were in two. So what rules am I following? Am I following that overlay or am I following this overlay? So there was lots. I would say eliminating confusion for our contractors, our builders, our citizens who want to build or renovate their homes in our city. I think this is the clearest the rules will have ever been, ever in the history of the city. So I think that is important and encourages more growth and more development and making people more confident to build their houses.
It also means that if you're ever going to tweak it, if you're ever going to change it, you know where to change it, you know what needs to be changed, and you can actually make the change accomplish the outcome you're aiming at, right?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously there are several changes we can talk about. You know, another big one that makes headlines sometimes, the initially strengthened tree ordinance that will go from $400 to $1,500 and many other things will be in here.
Okay.
Councilman Moore and I are going a step further to protect Southern Live Oak specifically, that are going to have a significant application fee, a significant higher fine fees and things like that, that we are not going to infringe upon private property rights. If your property allows you to build 3,000 square feet, you can build 3,000 square feet. However, we're going to make you think about maybe putting the driveway on the other side or something like that, because it's going to be costly if they're going to take down a 150-year-old oak tree. I mean, that's just the fact. So anyway, it addresses trees. It addresses thickening neighborhoods, what you can or can't do with duplexes on certain lots. So it gets real technical, for the radio. But I could just tell you there's going to be a lot less confusion, a lot more clarity about what our rules are, and some opportunity to make it easier on our citizens to do what they want to do.
I want to ask a super nerd question that I know you'll appreciate, and I just don't know the answer to this. It has always struck me that the linear measurement for trees was not a great way to do things because, for example, if you're replacing a 36-inch tree with 12 3-inch trees, that's not the same because it's a radius squared math problem to replace. It seems like it ought to be that same kind of a relationship. Which way does the new LDC go on replacement trees?
Yeah, actually, this was something that I put in that I agree with you. That if you had a 36-inch tree, our current rule right now is you have to do 12, only 3-inch trees is what you're allowed. So you have to do 12 3-inch trees. well, that's not going to create canopy on your sidewalk out front. You're going to go stuff them in your backyard. I mean, that doesn't even really make any sense. So what we did is I got with our arborist and we said, well, why wouldn't we allow citizens to put as large a tree to count against that 36-inch as reasonable? So we actually went from 3 to 6 inches. So now, same scenario, someone could do 12 threes or they could do 6 sixes. We aren't letting them go larger than 6 because of its ability to plant. You know, we don't want somebody to drag a dead old tree that's 24 inches wide and say, wait, I replanted it. Yeah, I'm good. So on the expertise of our arborist, we said, you can't really go larger than 6 with a new planting. But I can tell you, if you do a 6-inch tree, to your point, Andrew, the canopy is created 5 years sooner than a 3-inch tree.
Well,
I
love that portion of it. I meant that it should be more than just 6 of them, because when you get into the squared relationship, the surface area of the cross section that you're replacing, which is of course very much related to the overall canopy size, it's not enough to say, you know, just 6 of them. I haven't done the math in my head, but you'd probably need to be, you know, 12 or
you're
20 of them.
Inference.
What's that?
You're saying, hey, inference enough. And that's a fair argument. Obviously that's a pretty standard thing. That's what they do in Tallahassee and many other cities around Florida. And then, and you pay a fine if you don't make up those inches. $500 a caliper inch is what it'll be now. So, so totally get that. But we got to balance, you know, what would the right number be? And
okay. Obviously trees will grow. So, I mean, and you know, that squared relationship is going to change over time as the trees get bigger. I get that too. I was just curious. I didn't know the answer. So I was curious about that. There's an informational meeting about Baptists tomorrow night, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We actually been having them every month. Every other month is at Lakeview Center, at the gymnasium right there by Lakeview, just north of the Baptist, the Legacy campus. And then they're the corresponding month, the next month, they're actually doing on site. If you want to go, we won't let you put, go in there and get a sledgehammer or anything, but you can get pretty close and you can walk around with our Jacobs Engineering folks and our city folks. So it gives you a real opportunity if you want to, you know, take the ground and see what's going on. So we've been doing that now for several months. So yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have people out that are interested and, or, you know, have any concerns about what's going on.
311 app. Somebody said it's not working anymore. It was, I know nothing about this except what somebody told me.
We did go to Penny
that part I know, going to the AI on the call in, right?
That's right. So if you go to citypensacola.com right now, on your phone, on your laptop, whatever you want to do. If you go to citypensacola.com right now, you can basically, the 311 app is on the front page right now.
Okay, so instead of on your phone, it's on the web page, basically.
Yeah, I'm not saying that with finality. I need to learn more about, you know, what app they're talking about and download the right one. I don't know if I can solve the entire thing other than to say anybody out there that's got an issue with the city of pothole, garbage, anything else, you can go right to the front page of the website, and that we've got that prompt right there that can help you file a ticket and get it done quickly.
Very good. We always like to end with lightning round questions. First one for you, is there any movie that growing up, whether it scared you or otherwise inspired you, that affected your behavior? Any movie that you drew a behavior change from?
Oh, my God. This is supposed to be like questions I can answer in 3 seconds. I'm waxed philosophical on my, I answer Dumb and Dumber every time, and I just feel like it always fits. It always applies.
That's how you outfitted your van, was in exterior carpeting. Okay, fair enough. I got you.
Yeah, it's why I wear orange tuxedos.
There you go. During recess, what was your game of choice? Or activity of choice?
All sorts of sports, but basketball. I played basketball through high school. Definitely basketball.
Okay, and continuing a theme, did your family play card games or any kind of game growing up? If so, what was the card game of default choice?
Yeah, so my grandfather and I, he's awarded 2 Purple Hearts in World War II. Always, he would pick me up when my mom was at work after school, and we played gin rummy all the time. And he was relentless. He would not let me, you know, there was no helping me win. There was no, so my record was like 2 in 900 probably. But I learned how to play well, at least.
How much of your birthday card money did Grandpa win back?
Well, he would give me $2 bills every March 25th.
Gotcha, yeah.
So he didn't take any money off me. He wasn't that tough. He didn't want me to learn that kind of lesson.
Oh, you had it easy.
Yeah. That's right. Right, exactly. I get to keep all my cash. Yeah.
DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, looking forward to the meeting next week, city council meeting next week. Thanks, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.